WOLD.
You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and we're here with
Jordan.
And it's happy
Easter
and
happy Passover.
What's the other one?
Blessed Ramadan.
Okay, tell us about Ramadan. You looked it up. You have information to share.
I did. So it's a month of devotion.
A month? A whole month?
Yeah, it's about a month long. It's a time of reflection and improvement and devotion to Allah.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's a somber holiday. And
And it's now? Until
it's
when?
Now. It's, let me see. I think it ends relatively soon. I think it started around the 22nd of March. Let's see.
Time of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, happy Ramadan. Is that the right thing to say? Happy Ramadan?
It's more of like a somber, reflective holiday. So it might be more along the lines of like have a blessed Ramadan.
Okay.
Yeah. And it ends April 20th.
All right, so we've got a little bit of time yet. Okay. So, blessed Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so I should give the phone number because it's 908-448-0951. And also, I want to remind everybody that you can listen via the station's website, which is woldradio.com. And then you have to kind of poke around in there, and there's a button that says Listen Live. But you can also poke around in there and find another button that allows you to listen to any of the archived shows. So if you missed a show and you want to go back and hear it, or if there was something that you missed that you want to go back and hear, you can go and listen to the archives. But the other way of listening to the show, which is the one that tickles me the most, is the fact that you can listen via your phone. And not by streaming through your phone, but just by dialing a magic phone number. And you dial a magic phone number, and then you can listen either by holding your phone up, or you can put it on speaker, or if you have an old-fashioned landline that has a speaker button on your desk or on your table, you can press that button, and you can listen by dialing 518-737-0158. And if you have any questions, you can go to my website. You can read my blogs, which I have been spending a fair amount of time writing and making fun and putting in pictures and making them mildly entertaining, I think.
Mildly?
Yeah.
I would say a little more than mildly.
Well, they're fun. I do spend a lot of time. And that is Peggy Garden, P-E-G-I, because I spell my name weird, peggygarden.com. And you can make comments. You can ask questions. You can sign up to get notices when there's new bloggy things on there. And I've been trying to get to it like once a week or so, or every 10 days.
Yeah, you've been good about it.
I've been trying. Mm-hmm. I've been trying. And of course, I have lots of pictures. And Juniper is being featured quite a bit these days since she's the new puppy on the block. So you can see her. And she's very entertaining. And makes me crazy, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
She's a good girl.
She's a sweet girl, and she's trying very hard to be friends with the cat, Wolfbane. She has not entirely figured out chickens yet. She really likes the chickens, but she's not sure if they're friends or a toy or food. She hasn't. So she has to be, her visits with the chickens have to be supervised, but she's trying, and she takes things very gently, and she comes when she's called, and she's learning to sit and give paw and all that stuff. So she's doing good, and she has to get on the bed and snuggle me.
Oh.
So she's about 55 pounds of snuggling. So she's not quite a lap dog, but you think she is. So so you can go to the website and get caught up on all of the stuff and all the things that we're planting and all the things that we're growing and all the trials and tribulations and digging in the compost pile and all of that. So you can go to the website and find out about all of that. So I'm sorry to say, very disappointed. I'm really mad at myself. I'm not mad at you. Just mad at me.
Why?
Because we didn't get to see the cherry blossoms this week.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, there was just a lot going on, and I really wanted to get to see the cherry blossoms. Has anyone been to see the cherry blossoms this week? Or recently? Or this year? I mean, we were supposed to go, and then stuff happened. You know, stuff happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see the cherry blossoms. Maybe we'll get to see the cherry blossoms this week. The Cherry Blossom Festival runs through next Sunday,
yeah.
So there's still things going on, so there should still be plenty of cherry blossoms. Now, the Cherry Blossom Festival takes place at Branch Brook Park in Newark, which is also kind of overlaps into Belleville a little bit, and they have, I think we said, 18 different varieties of cherry trees, and they have the largest collection of cherry blossom trees in North America, more than Washington, D.C., Go Branch Brook Park, and it really is beautiful, and I really would love to get there this week. It's just, it happens at such a busy time of year,
yeah,
when there is so much else going on. So we did plant the beautiful tricolor beech, which was quite a job since it was over 10 feet tall, right?
Right.
And we dug a hole, you know, twice as deep and twice as wide, and we got that planted. But we also planted something at Jordan's mom's house. You want to tell our friends about that?
Yeah, so we went down to Brock's nursery and got a Jane Magnolia, which is part of the Little Girls series of magnolias. So there's quite a few of them. I think there's eight.
There's eight.
And they're all, like, sort of dwarf varieties of magnolia. They all have, you know, flowers, beautiful blooms. The Jane is sort of a pinky purple on the outside, and it's white on the inside. And the center of the flower is beautiful. It's like a green and hot pink, and it's just a great tree. It has a light fragrance. It'll get about 15 feet tall, maybe 10 to 15 feet wide. So that'll be a great tree.
Well, the interesting thing about the Little Girl series is that they were, they're all dwarf.
Yeah.
They're all considered dwarf trees.
Mm-hmm.
A regular saucer magnolia can easily get to be 25, 30 feet
right.
big, covered in flowers. And these are dwarfs. But that's not really, they were not initially selected specifically to be dwarfs.
That's interesting.
Not as far as I know. What they were selected for, and what I researched them for and picked them out, is that they bloom later. They have a much later bloom. And the bloom time runs about 2 weeks later than your classic big magnolia. And why is that important? Because every once in a while, those big, beautiful, magnificent, you know, trumpet blaring announcements of spring get hit by a frost.
Right.
And if you've ever seen a giant 30-foot magnolia covered in purple and white beautiful flowers turn slimy brown, it just breaks your heart. It's just awful. It's really disgusting. And they kind of hang on there, and they just kind of droop like drippy brown, disgusting things on the tree. And it doesn't happen often. Maybe every 5 or 6 years, they'll get frosted really badly, and all the magnolias will turn slimy brown. And it's heartbreaking. So these were developed to bloom later. And I was so excited when I found them. And the first one I found many years ago was at Blooming Acres, and it was called Betty. And I planted Betty, and I wanted Betty to be in the center of a large circle. And around the perimeter of the circle, I was planting all these other beautiful ornamentals, but I wanted something spectacular in the center. So I planted Betty, and Betty didn't grow. She was alive, and she grew a little bit, and she was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But after about 3 or 4 years, it hadn't grown.
Huh.
And I was really upset that it wasn't growing. So I did a little research, and that's when I found out she's supposed to max out at 12 feet. And I was like, I bought it because of the late bloom, not realizing...
Oh, that it was a dwarf variety.
It was a dwarf variety. Mm. It was a mistake.
Mm.
And so we moved it. And let me tell you, Betty had some root system at that point. We dug and dug and dug and pulled and dug. We ended up pulling it out with a truck and a chain.
Oh my gosh.
It was that healthy and that well-rooted. And then I moved it to the perimeter of the circle.
Right.
Where it thrived.
I know, because I've seen pictures. That description was not, like, matching the
right. It was there for many years after, and mm-hmm. it did, you know, we pruned it, and we were very careful, and we had wrapped it so that the trunk wouldn't get damaged in the process of, but, I mean, it did not want to move. It was, mm-hmm. had become really well established. And so we moved it, and it thrived in its new spot. It did really well. But it is a small tree. Magnificent. And you saw the picture that the Betty is covered in flowers, and they are pink on the outside, kind of the bud is actually a magenta, I would say.
Yeah.
Like almost a purple, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
And they open up to be white on the inside. And one of the distinguishing features of Betty is it can have as many as 18 petals on each blossom.
It's just gorgeous.
It is a gorgeous plant. I was unable to find a Betty when we started planting at Tiny Farm, and I found out about the whole Little Girl series, mm-hmm. and I found a Susan. Now, the names of these, there's Susan, Jane, Betty, and Anne.
And Jude.
But those four, the first four, are the ones that are more readily available.
Mm.
There's four more that are harder to find. I tried to find a Judy for my sister, Judy,
right.
and I couldn't find one, so I was a little bummed. But there's Judy, Randy, Pinky, and one more I can't remember off the top of my head. So there's eight, and Susan is purple on the outside and purple on the inside, and it's really a lovely variety. And I had to move it also. I knew it was only going to get to be, you know, 10, 12 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And where I planted it originally was fine. And it was okay.
Right.
And then they put in the big, ugly building.
Right. And that changed everything.
And it wasn't going to get big mm-hmm. enough to hide the big, ugly building. So we moved it. And I was really worried because I planted it for my friend Susan. I told her I planted a tree in her honor. Right after I planted it, she got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she died 3 months later. It was very quick. And Susan was a very good friend. And when I planted it, at first it was just for fun. It was before she was sick.
Right.
But now it had meaning, and
right.
I had to move it.
Ooh.
And I was so worried that it wasn't going to make it. And last year it struggled a little bit. But this year it is gorgeous, covered in beautiful purple flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing really well. So that's Susan. And now you have Jane.
Yeah.
Does your mom like her?
She loves her. I think we're just so excited to watch it do its thing and see how big it gets. And I will say, my parents' neighborhood has a distinct lack of magnolia trees. So
really?
It felt, yeah, it was really nice to be able to put one in and, you know.
Yeah. And it was a good size.
Yeah, it was a good size. It was about 5 feet tall when we planted it.
And it had a smaller root ball. It was a little easier to plant than the tricolor beech. But at my house, we hit no roots and got a whole bucket of rocks out.
Right.
At your house, we only hit one rock.
Right.
One big rock.
It was massive.
And it was really, we weren't sure we were going to get it out because it's very hard to tell how far it goes when you're digging it out. But there were no little rocks.
No little rocks, but lots of roots.
Lots of roots. Yes, so it actually took longer to plant the smaller tree mm-hmm. than it did the tricolor beech because, you know, you really have to work the soil. You really have to get the hole significantly larger than the root ball. Your tree did not have a wire cage.
Right.
My tree did. I don't like those wire cages. I think, I'm not sure what the benefit of them is supposed to be. Maybe, I'm not really sure what the benefit is, but they're common now. And I have seen situations where the wire cage ends up cutting into the roots as the roots grow. And I just think they're not a good idea. So
yeah.
I always remove them. So I did remove that one on the big tricolor beech, but you didn't have one. We do cut the all the ropes and make sure things are not tied around the trunk of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting. I cut everything off the tricolor beech, and we took the wire cage off, and we stuck it in the ground, and then we pulled back the burlap, and good thing we did, because there was a whole nother set of strings underneath the burlap wrapped around the trunk. So you have to really make sure you get all of that off, because that will kill a tree in a relatively short period of time. And then, of course, the next most important thing is you do not fertilize it at the time of planting, and you mulch it nicely, and then you water it in thoroughly. So all of that. All right, can we go to the phones right now? We're going to say hi to Anne Marie from Milltown. Good morning, Anne Marie. Happy Easter.
Good morning. Happy Easter, and happy Passover to all of our Jewish friends, and happy Ramadan to all those that are celebrating their time of fast. God bless them.
Yes, absolutely. And what are you doing today? Are you having like the whole family over for Easter dinner?
Well, yes, except it's not in my house. It's across the street at our daughter Taryn's. And I'm just preparing it over here in my kitchen. That's what I'm doing. And then we're having the Easter egg hunt, which everybody thinks will go on indefinitely. Doesn't matter that they're 23 years old now, and the youngest in the group is 10, but they all, 13 of them, think they need to have an egg hunt, so they're doing it.
Well, I think that's good. I did Easter baskets last night, and the youngest person I did an Easter basket for is 26, and she's sitting right here.
Hi. I appreciated it very much. I can't wait to eat all the chocolate.
Well, I try to not just put candy in there. I try to put little things that are fun, because I don't want anybody going into a sugar coma, you know.
Right.
But it's as much fun for me to do the Easter baskets as it is for people to get them. So I don't want to give that up. I like doing it. It's mm-hmm. fun. It's definitely fun. Yes. So what are you making? What are you making for dinner?
Oh, ham, grandmom's mac and cheese has become a standard. It doesn't matter what holiday, Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday, whatever. The question is, are you making macaroni and cheese, Grandma? Yeah, sure, okay.
Okay, well, that's good. It's nice to be loved and appreciated before your mac and cheese, yes.
And ham, of course, sweet potatoes, nice asparagus, not ultra thin, but I agree with you. I like a plump asparagus, but that's what they had to offer. But they're very nice, and we had some already. They were very good. And I don't even know what else. And then probably more desserts than we have selections of food, because that's how this family flies.
I support that.
And we have a few boys, that little boys, that don't eat ham, so we, of course, have to do some chicken nuggets. You have to keep everybody happy here.
I went to the store specifically yesterday to get my free ham.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to get my free ham. But I took it home, and I cut it up in thirds and in big chunks.
Wow.
Yeah, and I put them in the freezer.
Was it a spiral ham?
No, it was just a solid ham. Yeah,
cool.
It wasn't sliced as a spiral like that. No, it was just a whole ham, and I cut it up in that way.
Two
people are not eating a whole ham.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, maybe two people could, but not you, Tommy.
No. So I threw them in the freezer, and I can take them out and use them for, you know, other things.
Right.
So that was my, so we're not having ham today. I have a ham, but we're not having ham. I had chicken cacciatore in the freezer, and I pulled that out, and we're going to have chicken cacciatore and a salad. And for dessert, we're raiding our Easter baskets. That's what.
Woohoo! There you go.
What's going on in your garden, Anne-Marie?
I have a bazillion wonderful daffodils, normal yellow ones, multiple varieties. I don't even know what they are. They're just all daffodils. And then I have a lot of those, what I call the mini ones. But each year, that plant seems to get stronger, and the stems on the flowers get longer than they were when I put them in 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. I don't know. My pussy willow is so big and tall and crazy, I would like to cut the thing leave less than half of it there, because some of the branches have to be 15, 20 feet long. And I cut it back, so it's just crazy. My forsythia is lovely. I don't know. What else is going on? My Pachysandra is blooming, folks. Don't listen to Peggy. Listen to Anne-Marie. My Pachysandra is nice, and I got beautiful flowers. I have a beautiful purple hydrangea,
good,
and a blue one. And
well, we have some lilies coming up in the back, Amory. These giant.
You do. Imagine that.
We have some giant lilies that are coming up, and my chicken is eating them.
Oh, no.
I have them right outside my greenhouse, and it's supposed to be a permanent location because they're supposed to get 8 to 10 feet tall. Now, mm-hmm. last year, they only got to be about 4 feet tall, but right. I'm hoping that they'll be more established and will get taller this year. And I have a little wire fence around them to protect them, but they were coming up at an angle, and little Goldie, my handicapped chicken that gets let out in the yard just by the house, was eating them. And she seems fine. I didn't realize she was eating them until I noticed the plants were damaged, but they're very poisonous, and she seems to be fine, but I don't want her eating them anymore.
Right.
So in order to protect them, so she doesn't peck at the leaves anymore, we have to move this giant piece of slate that's about 3 by 5
mm-hmm.
and weighs a ton
mm-hmm.
because it's pressing right up against the bed, and I can't put a fence in because the slate's in the way. So we have to figure out how little Jordan and I can move this giant piece of slate about 5 inches out so I can put in a fence to better protect these lilies. That's tomorrow's project, Amory.
I don't know. Can you shove round dowels under it and then roll it?
Well, you only have to move it like 4 or 5 inches. So I'm hoping to dig a trench on the far side and then take, maybe Uncle Art will have some suggestions for this. I have a really big crowbar, and I'm hoping I can shove it under and then just lean it and just push like one end and then push the other end. Because like I said, I only need to move it 4 inches. So I don't want to go through all the trouble of putting rolling things under it. That would be more trouble than it's worth. So I just need to move it like 4 inches. But it's heavy. It's really heavy. I might have to enlist my husband to help me with this. I might.
Right.
It might.
Don't back or your shoulders, because your gardening days will be shortened if you're out of commission.
No, well, definitely don't want to do that. But I don't want my chicken to eat this plant. I don't want the chicken to get poisoned. I don't want the plants to get chopped up. So I don't want to keep the chicken in her cage so she never has the opportunity to get out. She is handicapped. Her name is Goldie. You know her. You've met her. She's a very nice chicken. She's very sweet. She gives me an egg almost every day. But she needs to be out of the cage. I don't like to keep her in her own cage. And she can't be with the other chickens because mm-hmm. she can't walk. She can kind of pull herself around, but she can't really walk. And so the other chickens are mean to her. That whole thing about pecking order is very real. So she has to be an only chicken. So she gets along, well, she's not so sure about Juniper. Juniper, again, has not quite figured out what she is yet. But she gets along fine with the cat, and she gets along fine with Kusa, and Becky loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Becky would, you know, snuggle her. So Juniper's not quite there yet, but so we have to do this, but it's going to be a big job. But it shouldn't take too long, but it's going to take some muscle, and that's tomorrow's plan, where it's the first thing we're going to tackle tomorrow.
Okay, well, now you know what you're doing. That's good.
I hope. We'll see.
You asked if anyone had been to the cherry blossoms. Art's sister went, and she felt they were closer towards the end already, so you might really be
here. Bummer. All right. Well, maybe, I don't know, Tuesday? Maybe Tuesday.
Maybe
Tuesday. All right. Everything else good?
Everything else is good. We leave on Tuesday for our pilgrimage, so we'll be over in Europe, so that'll be good.
Well, you have a wonderful trip. Have a wonderful trip. We'll miss you, and we will see you when you get back, right?
Okay, yep. So enjoy the rest of the day. Have a good day, Jordan. And
you too.
Glad your girls are tooting around doing your thing.
Okay, we will be in touch. Happy Easter. Give Uncle Art a hug, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a little break, but we have Chris from Scotch Plains as soon as we get back.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGI garden.com. and be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Have you been over to the family-owned Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping yet? We were there, what, twice?
Yeah.
And, oh, do they have good sandwiches?
Agreed.
Yeah, that eggplant thing I had was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other time we went, I had chicken salad with real hunks of chicken in it.
Like,
nice. You know, the real thing. It was so good, so good, so good. And then, of course, that's just in the front. And then in the back is where the greenhouses are. And they've been around since 1980, and they have all kinds of things. They have seeds and trees and veggie plants and some real, you know, kind of fun, funky yard and decor stuff, too. I think Andy bought a rooster to hang on the side of his garage.
It might have been a cardinal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was really pretty. It was really pretty. So you can go. You can get a little something to eat. You can shop. Please go into the greenhouse and look at the passion vine. The passion vine is just, it's like a destination. You have to go and see the passion vine because it's so outrageous. And then you can get a really good sandwich. They have a pork roll, egg and cheese. They make subs. And they have a really, really popular Sloppy Joe hot mess. That sounds amazing.
It
sounds
good.
Amazing. So visit Mike's Country Market, and it's located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off of Milltown Road, on the East Brunswick-Milltown border. And their phone number is 732-821-7144. And Mike's Country Market is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show on WOLD, which is the home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells. Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. And that is spelled N-I-C-H-O-L-S.
Your home is your greatest investment. When it comes time to attend to your most pressing concerns, call Rest Assured Restored at 732-781-8857. Whether it's exterior or interior painting, power washing, bathroom remodeling, cleaning out the garage or attic, rest assured you've found the help you need. Do you have water or mold damage? Rest assured, these pros will assist you. In fact, if there's any home improvement you're thinking of, call the owner, Kelly, for a free estimate. The number, 732-781-8857. And find out more at restassuredrestored.com. And if you mention you heard about Kelly and his team on the All New Garden Show, you receive a 10% discount on the services they provide.
Where I want to be, but I guess I'm already there.
WOLD.
You're listening to the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Going to go right to the phones and have a little chat with Chris from Scotch Plains. Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
Good morning, Peggy. Good morning, Jordan. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
To both of you.
So what can we do for you today?
Okay, I basically have two questions. I have a lemon verbena plant that I was able to overwinter in my sunroom. The plant is doing really well. It's about 3 feet tall, and I wanted to take some cuttings, propagate it, and give them to some different friends. Some of the plant has new growth. Everything is like very green and soft. Some of it is a little bit woody. Any thoughts on what cuttings to take or whether to root it in water, soil? Any suggestions at all?
I've never tried to root lemon verbena. Jordan's quickly typing in and looking up the best way to propagate it, but I'm going to make a couple of suggestions right off the bat. Make sure it's been well watered before you take cuttings. So that,
okay,
so that's important. I would probably take relatively short cuttings, say 4 inches, no more than that.
Okay.
And then make sure that the very bottom of the cutting is where there are leaf nodes. Pull off the leaves and have leaf nodes at the very bottom. I would probably use a rooting hormone.
Yeah.
And dip them in rooting hormone. Now, the thing about rooting hormone is a little is good and a little more is too much. So you only want a tiny bit. So after you dip it in and it looks like it's been floured, you want to take your finger and you want to flick it, just a little flick, so that you get off any excess. And then put it in a sterile medium. And I would suggest, since it's going to be tender, I would suggest putting the whole thing in a plastic bag. Just leaving it open, leaving it open at the top, not closing it up, but just to create a little bit more humidity around it would be good. And I would keep it in a relatively warm spot because it'll generate roots more quickly if it's relatively warm. That would be the best approach that I can think of. Did you find anything?
Yeah, everything I'm finding is corroborating exactly that.
Oh, good. So I was right.
Yeah.
But it was a guess. So it was a good guess.
Yeah, it was a very good guess.
Okay. If you have a lot of cuttings, just for jollies, I would try putting some in water and seeing what they do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, usually you, when those plants are like that, you can take a lot of cuttings and
it's big and a lot of growth. I could certainly do that.
Yeah, I would try a few in water just to see if it's easy peasy. If it is, you know, it might be. I would say the careful rooting hormone, plastic bags, sterile is the safest way to go. But sometimes some things surprise you and root really, really easily in water. And then if that's the case, why not? But we didn't come across anything that said that, but it's probably worth a try. There are a few things that I have found that do better in water than any other way. Those Mexican petunias, they root like crazy in water, and I've never gotten one to root by a cutting and with rooting hormones. So every once in a while, you get something weird like that. But I would try both, but I would focus on the rooting hormone as the primary method and see what happens in water.
Okay, very good. Maybe you'll see some at the plant exchange if I'm successful.
Oh, yay, that would be fun. That would be good. That would be great.
Time will tell. The other question is growing garlic in containers. I have a coworker that's sort of a gardening buddy who didn't have a place to grow garlic in the ground. So last year she grew it in a container on a patio and did very well. This year she said nothing came up. I have more space, so I planted some in the ground, and the one in the ground is, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 inches tall, looking really good. The ones that I had in a container, and it was a big container, maybe about 30 gallons, it seemed like the ones in the center were looking good. The ones, you know, as you got closer to the periphery, the sides, either they weren't coming up at all or they looked very, very stunted. Is there any hope for that? Is growing garlic in containers not advisable, or any recommendations?
Well, I've never grown garlic in containers, but it seems like it's a reasonable crop to try because it's not very big and it doesn't have a huge root system, so it makes sense. One of the things for sure is that you need to give it plenty of sun. It is a sun-loving plant. So I could see why, if you have a small yard or a shady yard, that growing it in a container so you could move it into, you know, right on the porch where it's really sunny, or on the deck someplace, in the driveway someplace where it's going to stay really sunny that you can't plant any other way, would be worth trying. I'd say it's definitely worth trying. The problem about planting in the fall in containers, which is when garlic is ordinarily planted, is the fluctuation in temperature. And that in a container, the temperature fluctuates much more rapidly and more frequently. And that temperature fluctuation is one of the deadly parts of winter. Not so much the cold. It's not that it's cold. Mm-hmm. It's that the temperature fluctuates. And I would say this was a winter, if it was in a container that was in a sunny location where the sun beat on it and it got warm, and then it got cold, and then the sun beat on it and it got warm, and then it got cold, would be a reason for why things didn't do so well. I would say if you're going to do containers of garlic, you have, I would say, an approach that I would consider is planting them in the container and sticking the container in the ground someplace in your best gardening spot. And then come early spring, when you need that gardening spot for other things, you can pull it out. But that way it will be insulated over the winter and protected over the winter. And then you can pull it out and put it on the deck and then use that spot for your other gardening stuff because you have limited space. So you would kind of, double up, if you know what I can follow me. And I would consider that. The other thing I would consider is not to plant in the fall. You can plant garlic early in the spring. Very early, even in February or March. And I would consider doing that, getting them started, because the overwintering thing, the freezing and thawing thing, is definitely really one of the challenges of growing anything in a container. That's why many container-grown, like evergreens, that people put those dwarf Alberta spruces in containers and they spend a lot of money on them and they don't make it through the winter. It's not the temperature. It's the rapid fluctuation that does them in.
Okay.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
You need a way around that. And that also explains why the ones on the perimeter of your planter are struggling and the ones in the center are doing better, because the sun's not going to warm them up as quickly. So the temperature in the center, that would be more consistent.
So it sounds like it makes a lot of sense. I'll pass that along to my my gardening buddy.
I'm so happy that you have a gardening buddy. I love it.
Well, one of your favorite callers, who will be nameless, is my gardening buddy. He's very nice and he's a frequent caller, but it's like a gardening community. I greatly appreciate it. I'm just really happy that your show is back on. And I also listen in my spare time. I listen to WOLD, so that's sort of like an unexpected side benefit. It's actually a very, very nice station to listen to.
Oh, well, that makes everybody happy. So did you have one more question for me, or was that it?
Yeah, just a quick final question. So I have a bunch of different kinds of berries. I have blackberries, blueberries, currants, and raspberries. At this point, when is a good time to? I'm going to renew the mulch, and at some point I need to fertilize them. Is this a good time to put down like a granular fertilizer for the berries and then mulch them? Would you fertilize them closer to flowering time, or what are your recommendations for that?
No, I think now is a really good time as all the new growth comes out, because you want the flowers. But if you have healthy plants, the flowers will come. And the more foliage you have, the more photosynthesis will go on, and the sweeter those berries are going to be.
Okay, very good, very good. So as soon as the show is over, I'll get out the fertilizer. Thank you very much, and I'm so happy that you're back on again.
Thank you so much, Chris. I do appreciate that. Have a great holiday, and I hope to see you at the Plant Exchange. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. All right. So do we have any more callers? We're going to take a little break now. Okay. I'm Peggy Bellister-Howells. This is Jordan. We're going to be here until noon, and we'll be back right after this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Bellister-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Okay, I spend a lot of time outside. Do you spend a lot of time outside?
Absolutely.
Do you feel safe outside?
Most of the time. I mean, not always.
Not always, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a good idea to know what's going on around you?
Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now Juniper tells me a little bit of what's going on around me. But really, it's a good idea to go over and chat with our friends over at Elite Surveillance to make sure that if anybody tries to mess with you, they're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you can call them, 732-702 2434, and you can receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment. And yes, covering your biggest investment is really important, your home, your property, your garden, protecting your loved ones, making sure that everybody feels safe. That's even more important. And you can do that and ask Andrew Allegro and his elite surveillance crew. Those are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system that will keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day and make you feel
safe,
definitely, definitely safe. And just having the cameras visible on the outside of your home will deter these bad guys, because when they're wishing to do your harm, they'll see the camera and then they'll just keep going and they'll pick on somebody else. Not that we want them to pick on anybody, we really want to catch them. And these cameras help catching them. So call Elite Surveillance today at 732-702-2434, or you can visit EliteSurveillanceNewJersey.com to learn more. And if you mention the All New Garden Show, you'll receive a 10% discount on your same day installation. That number again, 732-702-2434.
Mobile One, Lube Express of Edison, a family-owned and operated business serving Central Jersey for more than a decade. From oil changes to wipers, bulbs to maintenance services, they have it covered. And all new car warranties are covered too. No sales, no quotas, no commissions, just honest, quick lube service. Even better, you can now skip the lines and stop in for your New Jersey motor vehicle inspection, as Mobile One Lube Express is now a state-certified emissions test facility. Mobile One Lube Express, 758 Route 1 North in Edison, across from ShopRite. 732-253-8100. And at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, their philosophy is, life is complicated enough, you take care of your family and job, and they will make sure you get there. Mobile One Lube Express of Edison is a proud sponsor of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD.
It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he's your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. Be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive lawn mower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901.
WOLD. Now, back to more of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the tail end of the Garden Show. We'll be here till noon. But Mary from Warren is going to come visit me here. And she is bringing me some trout lilies.
Woohoo!
So excited. Do you know what trout lilies are?
I just learned today.
You just learned today?
Yeah, I've never heard of them in the past.
Really?
I know, and it's surprising because I do enjoy like woodland plants. I am a big fan of like wood anemone, and I'm a big fan of trillium and all that good stuff. So I'm excited to learn more about them.
Well, they're really kind of fun looking, and they sometimes are known by other names. Yellow trout lily, mm-hmm. yellow dogtooth violet, that's another name that they're known
that
by.
That makes sense.
But they're really cute. They have little kind of elongated leaves that have a sort of a watery green pattern on them.
Yeah.
And then they have these cute little yellow flowers that go, the stems go up and then kind of do a little hook over, and then the flowers hang down with bright yellow petals and kind of rusty color anthers sticking out of them. And one of the things about them that's very cool is they will grow in partial shade. to deep shade.
Mm-hmm.
They are truly woodland flowers, and they bloom around now, and they'll spread. They don't necessarily bloom right away. It may take them a year or two to get really well established, but even the foliage is very attractive, and it gets nice and thick when you have a big patch and kind of works sort of ground covery a little
yeah.
bit. But they bloom in abundance at times, and Mary's bringing me some. So we have woods, and we will have trout lilies, and we can put the trout lilies
in the woods.
In the woods.
That's
I know.
Great.
I'm trying to make the woods. The woods have not been high priority. I have done some things in the woods, but there's just so much else that needs to be done that I haven't gotten as much done in the woods as I would like. But these are going in the woods. I'm very excited about being able to plant them. But in looking them up to come up with information to talk to you about them, I learned something that I didn't know.
Which was?
They're edible.
Yeah.
Edible. I had no idea.
Usually lilies are super toxic, so then I guess they're not a true lily.
They're not a true lily, yeah. No. They're not a true lily. They're just called that. I use one of their relatives, the fawn lily.
Okay.
That has pink flowers and not as common. I use that as a model for painting wine glasses.
Yes, you did. Those turned out beautifully.
They look very similar, but in pink. So the leaves have a very mild flavor, and the flowers are slightly sweet due to the nectar, and the corms are edible as well, and they have a cucumber-like taste.
That's very interesting.
I know, but I don't really want to eat them.
I
mean, I would like to try them because I think it's kind of interesting, and I would like to know what they taste like since they're edible, but I mean, they're so beautiful. Why would I want to cut them up and eat them?
Mm-hmm.
It's a conundrum.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum. I mean, I would like to try them, but, you know, once you eat them, you don't have the flowers. You can't have your trout lilies and eat them, too. You just can't. You can't do that. So maybe if I get so many in the yard and they really propagate and mm-hmm. get really thick, then I wouldn't feel so bad about maybe digging up one or two and eating them. Especially if they taste like cucumbers, that would be good.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're very pretty. They're native. They're very shade tolerant. They spread. They don't require a lot of fuss. I wouldn't say that they're rare, but they're not really common either. You would definitely find them in a woodland setting. So unless you spend time going out in the woods, you're not necessarily likely to come across them. But they are considered widespread and are pretty much in eastern North America. They are in the lily family, but not in the lily genus. Their botanical name is Erythronium americanum.
Hmm.
And if you can get some, they're fun because they are a nice native plant. So, is there anything else that anyone would like to share with us? I should give a little bit more information about the website because it's peggygarden.com, and you can reach me through that with sending me an email or making comments on my blogs, or if there's any issue you would like me to address on my blog, a topic you would like me to cover, I'd be happy to do that if you let me know. And you can sign up to get notifications as to when there are new posts. And I think that brings us up to date. I should give the phone number here in case you would like to call, 908-448-0951, if you'd like to write that down so you have it for the future. And you can also go to WOLDradio.com, and you can listen to the archive shows if you missed any of them. So I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday. You have a wonderful holiday, Jordan. Sean
you
over
too.
Here, my button manager, have a wonderful Easter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be here next week, same time, same place. Until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Tune in to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells, Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, Central Jersey's music and information station. Missed a show? You can listen to past shows on demand anytime at WOLDradio.com.